All right, since I'll be talking about energy expenditure today, let's expend a little bit of energy because you all look very tired. So if everyone could stand up, and you can kick off your shoes if you want to. I'm going to. First, we're going to start off by marching for 5 seconds. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. 10 jumping jacks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10. All right, march for 5 more seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Great job, everybody. You just burned about 15 calories. So that's probably good because most of us have been sitting all day in these wonderful sessions. So today I'll be discussing differences in adult energy expenditure across park activity areas by gender and race ethnicity. I have no relationships to disclose at this time. So as we all know, obesity is a big problem in the United States, and currently population-level solutions are needed to improve physical activity participation. To this end, parks have been acknowledged as important physical activity settings given their low cost and widespread availability to the general public. And a small body of literature has employed observational methods to document the physical activity that occurs in parks, but more research is still needed to understand park-based physical activity behavior. Further, only limited analyses have described the intensity of physical activity that occurs in specific areas of parks, and none to date have examined such variations according to age, gender, or race ethnicity. The purpose of the present study was to explore differences in adult energy expenditure across park settings by gender, age, and race ethnicity. This study was conducted in Kansas City, Missouri. We looked at 4 different parks, and these parks ranged in size from 26 to 129 acres. And the parks were divided into 14 to 28 observable activity areas, for example, trails, playgrounds, baseball diamonds, that sort of thing. And to scan the park and to observe the energy expenditure, we used a modified version of the system for observing play and recreation in communities, and I'll be referring to this as SOAP Park. And so this was used to record the physical activity of the park users. And we looked at, the assessments looked at gender, male, female, age, whether the park users were adults, teens, children, or adults and seniors, race, ethnicity, and the intensity level of the park users. This study occurred during the summer, and each of the 4 parks was observed for a total of 39 hours, broken up over 2 weekends. And the inter-observer reliability was quite high for this. It ranged from 0.98 to 0.98 for all of the user characteristics that were recorded. The present data analysis only looked at the adult data, so adults 20 to 59 years old and seniors 60 and over. And the data was analyzed by gender, male, female, and race, ethnicity. A white and non-white group. We had to collapse the non-white group into a single category because we wanted to ensure a sufficient sample size to make comparisons across the park target areas. And we compared the physical activity behavior across the 5 park settings most used by adults. These 5 settings were open spaces, paved trails, playgrounds, tennis courts, and picnic shelters. To calculate the energy expenditure so we could look at differences across park areas, we ultimately calculated the average energy expenditure for each of the groups, for example, male, female, adult, senior, white, and non-white. And we did this by first totaling the number of the individuals observed at each intensity level. So, for example, the adult sedentary sum. And then we multiplied each total by the respective energy expenditure constant value. For example, sedentary we multiplied by 0.051, moderate by 0.096, and vigorous energy expenditure by 0.144. And then we added together the energy expenditure sums for each of the intensity levels For example, we added together the adult sedentary energy expenditure plus the adult moderate energy expenditure plus the adult vigorous energy expenditure. And then we divided the total energy expenditure for that group by the total number of individuals observed in that group. And again, this yielded the average energy expenditure for each of the groups so that we could compare the target areas. Within each user group, ANCOVA was used to compare the energy expenditure across the five target areas. And these analyses controlled for the park in which the observation occurred. Again, there were four parks. And the total user count for the target area and the proportions of individuals observed as male, white, and adult when the variable wasn't used to stratify the sample in the first place. Significant ANCOVAs were followed by SIDAC post-hoc comparisons to examine differences in energy expenditure between the individual target areas. In the entire study, there were a total of 8,612 park users. 6,401 were adults or seniors, and this was the population that included in my analysis. About half of the adults and seniors that were observed were male, half were female. The vast majority were adults, and about 70% were white. And then if you look at the pie chart here, about half of the park users were observed on paved trails. About a quarter were observed on open spaces, so those were obviously our top two target areas that had the most users. And then the last quarter of the pie comprises users observed on playgrounds, picnic shelters, and tennis courts. This table shows that the mean energy expenditure values were compared across the target areas within the sample groups. So we compared open spaces, paved trails, playgrounds, tennis courts, and picnic shelters. And across those groups, there were significant differences between every target group for all sample groups. These two red boxes indicate that paved trails and tennis courts had the highest observed mean energy expenditure. These three boxes show that open spaces, playgrounds, and picnic shelters had the lowest observed energy expenditure of the park users of the top five activity areas. So just to kind of sum up what the tables showed, there were differences observed across all five of the target areas within all of the sample groups. And across all of the sample groups, the highest energy expenditure was observed on paved trails and tennis courts. And the lowest energy expenditure was observed on open spaces, playgrounds, and picnic shelters. Our findings are similar to past findings in that trails are an important facility for park-based physical activity. Additionally, Floyd and colleagues found that picnic shelter users had the lowest observed energy expenditure. But it is important for parks to have these passive areas for activity because it helps to keep people at the park longer so they can come and bring their lunch and stay through lunch as opposed to leaving the park. Open spaces were among the lowest activity areas. And again, Floyd and colleagues had similar findings that this was the area where the lowest energy expenditure was observed. And open spaces can be positive or negative park facilities. As I said, parks need to have passive activity areas where people can just go hang out. But open spaces are also a great opportunity for unstructured play activities where people can set up a volleyball net or play a game of pickup soccer or something. And future research should explore the differences between gender, race, and age groups within the park areas. For example, are males more active than females on paved trails, which my analysis did not look at. Future research should also examine park preferences and differences therein between gender, race, and age groups. For example, do Hispanic residents prefer certain facilities? The differences in energy expenditure between park areas were very consistent for all of the samples examined. Nevertheless, demographically and culturally sensitive park planning should be a priority for facilitating physical activity among diverse groups. It's important to do these observations. It kind of gives park planners an opportunity to see what the most used areas are so they can plan accordingly for the parks in their community. And playgrounds were among the top activity areas but showed the lowest energy expenditure among adults. And this tells planners that there's an opportunity for increased energy expenditure on playgrounds with interactive equipment for adults and children, or having parks with trails and playgrounds located near each other, so the adults can be working out at the same time that the children are playing on the playground without feeling like they're leaving their children. Just to kind of conclude the presentation, a better understanding of differences in energy expenditure areas across parks can aid park planning and design efforts to increase the activity levels of park visitors. These are the references that I used. And here's contact information if you'd like more information about the study. And does anyone have any questions? Oh, she asked about where the numbers came from to calculate the energy expenditure for sedentary, moderate, and vigorous. And we use the numbers from a Cohen article that was a previous user of the SOPARC data, and so we used his numbers that he used. So it's been in the literature. Mm-hmm. The observers that were on the in the parks, the park was broken up into segments as opposed to activity areas. So if we had like a map of a park, like three observers would have this portion, three would have this one, and three would have like that one. So they could combine their data and say, I saw three people on this part of the trail and three people on this part of the trail from this time to this time, and it was probably the same three people. So we observed them in vigorous activity over here as well as over here, so you could see all parts of the trail and not just one part where, like, the entrance of the trail. She asked if we could encounter the same person on both parts of the trail, and yes, that is highly likely. We do not account for those. Anybody else? Yes.
So it is probably a standard age group, but 20 to 59 seems like a very big category. If you just give and look at it in a more segmented.
If I was using maybe a different tool than SOPARC and doing a different type of observed energy expenditure, I might. But just to keep consistent with what previous researchers have done using the SOPARC tool, I would not change the age groups. But if I was conducting more of a needs analysis for a community to do park planning, I would definitely take into account the different age groups within the 20 to 59 broad adult group. Yes? Yes. She asked if the results would have been different if it had been done for a longer period of time or at a different time of the year. Being that this study was conducted in Kansas, we have not issues, but most people don't go to the park in the winter because it's snowing. So if it had been conducted in any other time but the summer, we would have had very different results. And there also probably would have been differences if we had looked at the parks more during the week versus just on the weekend and for more weekends, because some weekends are obviously more popular than others to go to the park. So the results would have changed, yes.
Any other questions for our speaker? All right. Thank you, Catherine.